The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm. The meetings are from Musselburgh and Southwell in the afternoon. Wolverhampton and Dundalk fill the evening berths. So four meetings to look forward to. Unfortunately, no racing from Lingfield on Friday. That has been abandoned. And you'll be joined in the studio by Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Pohl. So tune in for all of that. Right now, though, I'm Mark Walton, and I'm joined on this edition of the podcast by commentator Darren Owen. How are you, Wizard?
Yes, happy New Year to you, Mark.
Happy New Year, yes. Are you full of the joys of the festive season? All done and dusted now, I
festive
suppose.
Festive season, oh, I feel totally miserable now. I hate January. Yes. I really do hate January. It's my least favourite month of the year. You know, the festive season's now over. The atmosphere's flat. We're all skint. The weather's terrible. The one saving grace is that the racing seems to be beating the elements at the moment.
Yes.
And we've got some wonderful racing, particularly at the weekends during January and February, to look forward to. So that keeps us going.
Yes. Slightly cheerier start to the new year than I was expecting.
Anyway, happy New Year to you. I mean, I was sitting there in the house the other night with the missus.
Yeah.
Celebrating 2014 and the new year, and I thought, why are we doing this? I hate January. I really do despise January. Yeah. I wish we could skip January and go straight to February.
On the last day of January, you should have a celebration then. Happy February.
Yeah.
Your new year starts there.
Yeah.
The good thing about New Year is New Year's Day is racing, because it's always...
Well, was it? Was it this year?
It was all right. I enjoyed it. The racing at Cheltenham was pretty good, and we've seen a few Cheltenham clues.
Oh, God, do we have to say we've seen a few Cheltenham clues?
Yes.
Do we have to say that?
I think we do.
No, I refuse to for 6 weeks.
Okay.
All right, mid-February I'll say we've seen a few Cheltenham clues. No, seriously, yeah, the racing is traditionally really good over the festive season. It has been this year, and it finishes with the Cheltenham meeting on New Year's Day, the top class fair of during Christmas. But it was sport this year with the conditions. I cannot remember seeing Cheltenham as testing as it was yesterday, or certainly not for a long time anyway. You know, they were having to omit fences. There was water lying on the track. But that aside, we saw some really nice horses yesterday.
Yes. I suppose the one that stands out to most people will be Annie Power. She remains unbeaten. She disposed of Zarkander again in pretty convincing fashion, especially in that kind of ground. She's got endless potential, hasn't she, at the moment?
To quote Ruby Walsh, every good horse can handle any ground.
Yep.
Frankel could do it, Hurricane Fly can do it, and so could Corto and Denman. And she can do it. And she's a really quality horse. Of course, you were talking about the festival and the spring target. I mean, where do they go with Annie Power? The trainer's got Hurricane Fly in the champion hurdle. He's got the wonderful Quavega going for the mayor's hurdle, which obviously leaves the world hurdle or the stayers hurdle, if you prefer. And, you know, she's done absolutely nothing wrong. The one thing I'd say is that Willie's got those horses, Quavega and Hurricane Fly, but they're owned by different people, remember?
Yeah.
This is owned by Rich Ritchie. So, but she at the moment, she's just looking totally bomb-proof, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very solid at the moment. Like I said, the potential there is remarkable. And because Hurricane Fly bounced back quite nicely the other day.
Bounced back from what?
Well, not bounced back, but there were question marks after his first run this season.
And no, I never questioned him.
You didn't?
Never. Well, at the start of this season, you know, we were all getting excited about our Connor. Yeah. Quite right, and rightly so. And the new one. My Tent or Yours, yeah. Jezki.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to have those new kids on the block, but I felt from the word go, they still have the champion to beat.
Okay. And he Well, he rubber-stamped that then, didn't he?
He rubber-stamped it. I mean, the race, you know, you could pick holes in what happened on Sunday afternoon there. Mm. Jezki perhaps didn't quite get the run of things going to the final flight, was just shortened up for room going to the last. Our Connor was running over hurdles for the first time since winning the Triumph Hurdle. You know, you'd like to think he's a little bit better than that, but they've still got the Hurricane to beat.
Yeah, the point I was going to make from that
is
because he's got such a strong candidate in the champion hurdle, and Kvyat obviously comes out and runs in the Mayor's Hurdle every year, and
say it's looking at the we're steering towards the Stayers' Hurdle.
Yeah, so you'd go the World Hurdle route if I was
in the trainer's shoes. Yes, I think that would probably be the number one option, but you've got to do what is best by the horse.
Yes. Okay, another horse that caught the eye at Cheltenham on New Year's Day was Oscar Whiskey. He's put his credentials forward for the Juicen, getting the better of Takander Soy, who ran a decent enough race, but Oscar Whiskey came out on top quite nicely in the end.
Yeah, I mean, going into yesterday's race, Takander Soy was better off at the weight. Remember, Takander Soy beat Oscar Whiskey in what proved to be a farce of a race at the November fixture.
Yep.
He was better off at the weight, but remember, Oscar Whiskey going to Cheltenham in November was running for the first time this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's beaten him. There wasn't a lot in it between the two, three parts of a length. They're two very, very good novices. We know his ideal trip is 2.5 miles. So you're obviously looking at the Juicen, if that's the case. But he's now starting to, you know, seems to be getting the hang of things. Remember, it wasn't a massive jumping test yesterday.
No.
Because there were a number of fences omitted. They were running in atrocious conditions. There's not, to be fair, though, you know, you look at the form, you've got to say, Mark, there's not a lot in it on the book between the two horses, Oscar Whiskey and Takander Soy. And I would say the connections of the second horse are as happy, basically, as the connections of the winner.
Okay. Let's move on from New Year's Day. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stories in the news. The big story that broke on New Year's Day was that, over the last few days, is that Davy Russell will no longer be number one stable jockey for Jigginstown. And it's looking likely that Brian Cooper will take over.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. And
nah.
Reading in the papers, I don't think Davy Russell saw it coming either.
Yeah.
What it's all about, we don't know. We can only speculate and... but I'll say David Russell never saw it coming, and he struck up such a great rapport with the Jigginstown horses over the seasons, and it's going to be, you know, it won't be straightforward. Well, it might not be straightforward. Remember, Davey knows the leading players there.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be a totally new ball game for whoever takes over, and as you say, it's looking as though Brian Cooper is going to be taking over, and we know he's a really capable young pilot as well, but. Davey's a very, very good jockey. There's a lot of people that really do rate Davey as a fabulous jockey, fabulous horseman, great steeplechase jockey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blow to Davey, and Brian Cooper's got a hard act to follow, but he's a young talent. He's been given a massive chance if it's looking like Brian Cooper.
Yeah, because he was champion conditional, wasn't he, in Ireland last year? And he's obviously a jockey very much on the up.
And hit the headlines with his association with Our Connor and Desi Hughes.
Yeah. Who's also got horses with Jigginstown as well, so I suppose that would help the transition. He has ridden for them in the past.
Yeah. Is their prerogative?
Yeah.
They just feel as though they want to change.
Mm. And who are we to say? They pay the money, they pay the bills.
Well,
they can do what they want.
Sitting back and enjoying their horses.
Yes. And let's talk about a couple of horses then that... unfortunately, we might not get to see. Fleming Star, the first of them, it's likely that he will miss the rest of the season. He's suffering with a tendon problem on his off foreleg. So they're saying that they're icing it and still hosing it. And they're saying they're going to take the time, though, and it's unlikely that he'll run again this season.
Yeah, and he's in good hands with Tony Martin. And obviously, you've got to protect such a talented horse like this. I mean, I'm not quite sure why the horse had to move stables in the first place anyway. Again, the owner's prerogative, but... I didn't think that Peter Casey did anything wrong with this horse. He's the one who made the horse.
Mm.
But such a shame. Let's hope that we see him again next term.
Yeah, and Sprinter Sacra will find out, apparently, the extent of his heart problem On Friday is apparently the day that we'll find out a little bit more. Hopefully we'll see him at Cheltenham.
Yeah, described by Nicky Henderson the other day as being 60-40 to make the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah.
And to quote Nicky in the paper today, it's all good so far, but Friday is the crux day, with the specialist going down there to monitor him cantering with a heart monitor on. So that's going to be the D-Day.
Yeah.
For sprinter, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is that it kind of recovered himself, didn't it? He didn't need any treatment. It was about 3 hours later, it sorted itself out. So
precisely.
Hopefully it was just a minor blip or something.
And watching that race and watching the aftermath, you know, Barry Geraghty didn't dismount. He hacked back on him, so he obviously felt that it wasn't over serious, but serious enough to pull up in the race. What happens with the champion chase picture if he doesn't make it? Well, it's a very, very interesting picture, isn't it?
It comes wide open, doesn't it, really?
Very interesting picture.
Yeah, and we're on the subject of Nicky Henderson, champion trainer last year. Paul Nicholls looking to regain his crown this year, and they're kind of to-ing and fro-ing a little bit, aren't they, at the moment? Who do you think will come out on top?
Well, it was an interesting one, because at the start of the festive season, we thought, all right, Nicholls is having it all his own way, and then, lo and behold, you know, Nicky's had a few nice winners. Obviously, the big Irish winner doesn't count. This is going to go to the wire.
Mm. Could come down to the national again.
Well, that would make it very interesting. Yeah. Absolutely, it would make it very interesting. And you know, and Nicky Henderson's got a lively national candidate in Triolo de Lenne.
Yeah, just looking at the page there as well. You see their star horses, and between them, they've got an embarrassment of riches, haven't they?
Oh, of course.
But we knew that anyway. But yeah, who would you side with at the moment if I had to say pick one?
That's
now
a difficult one. Well, there's about 300,000 in it between the two. We don't know the situation with Sprinter. You see, to be honest with you, they're in a similar situation there. Henderson doesn't know where he is with Sprinter.
Yeah.
Nicholls doesn't really know where he is with Big Bucks.
No.
So that's two big Cheltenham pots there, and possibly two big Aintree pots.
Mm.
Right? Bobsworth showed his well-being at Leopardstown last week. I still think... But of course, Nicholls has got Silvagnaco Conti.
Yeah.
Right? The Gold Cup winner will come from those two. I cannot see anything else winning the Gold Cup. Which one's going to win it? Who knows? I'm possibly siding towards Bobsworth.
Yeah.
My 10 to yours in the champion hurdle for Henderson. Don't fancy that.
No.
No. I don't think the champion hurdle's going to come into this at all.
Okay.
We know about Triolo de Lenne with the national, but the national's a national. Nicholls has got Rocky Creek, who'd be another lively candidate come Aintree. Waits will be out in about 4 or 5 weeks' time. Forget Long Runner, can't have that for the national.
No.
Grand Duet, forget that, can't have that for the Arkell. It's never been one of my horses. Captain Cutter looked good the other day. That really does look a very, very nice young novice. We've got Oscar Whiskey. Dodging Bullets, he'll be a player in the Arkell. This... If I was forced to go for one,
yeah,
right, and you're really forcing me,
I'm going to force you. Yeah, go on.
I'd say Henderson.
Right,
but this is going to be very, very interesting.
It's going to be good, isn't it? It's something else to follow throughout the season, because I can see yo-yoing a few more times. But the way it's worked, Nicholls has very much shortened in the betting, and Henderson on the drift slightly. So Nicholls now favourite, which is interesting.
And the interesting time, though, remember, we're going into January now, and this is Nicholls' quiet month. Mm. And there are some good pots in January, where Nicholls I think he gives his horses a flu vaccination this time of the year, and he tends to wind them down for a few weeks.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. Nicky Henderson, then, for Darren Owen.
You forced me, though.
I forced him. Anyway, let's move on. We must move on. Friday's racing will be almost upon us by the time we get there, and
seen a race on Thursday yet. we've already had three.
I know, yeah. We're going to look at three races at Musselburgh, starting in the 110, and we start with a Class 5 handicap chase over 2 miles, and Ballycool and Coke, so are probably interesting towards the top end of the betting, or likely to be at the top end of the betting, both coming here in winning form. Ballycool did it on soft ground last time as well, which is obviously a positive.
That's going to be a key, isn't it? It's described as soft, good soft in places at Musselburgh, but Ballycool comes into this set to defy the penalty for that good win at Kelso the other day. He's coming into this at the top of his game, and Cokes is a last time out winner as well. Richie McGrath takes the ride on Cokes, winner at Catterick, saw the horse win at Catterick, beat Forestside there. That was just before the festive season. They're the two key players, I think, coming into this. Only six runners facing the starter. Don't fancy Forestside. Civil Unrest carries top weight. That horse notched up a sequence of wins. Basically, those wins were all on better ground. I'm going to take a chance with Ballycool to follow up the Kelso win.
Okay, Ballycool to follow up the Kelso win on the soft ground, which he has performed on before, and likely to, well... The way he won last time, you'd say that a penalty shouldn't be too much problem, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally agree.
Mm. 19 lengths, the margin of victory at Kelso. Let's move on to the second race we're going to look at, the 210 at Musselburgh. This is a Class 4 novices chase over 2 miles. Only four of them in the lineup here, Wizard. I don't think I'm being rash by saying we could probably rule out Lily of the Ballet. What do you make of the other three?
Yeah, but the other three make it a tight heat, don't they?
Yeah.
You've got Witness in Court, who's only had the one start over fences. Stop quickly. On its chasing debut. That was at Kelso back in October. Reaping the Reward is now 10 years old. Quite old to be a novice. Mm. 10 years old. Doesn't have an awful lot of mileage on the clock. When last seen was in impressive winning form at Perth, but that was in the summer. All his form, or most of his form, is on good ground. Jetmaster intrigues me. I think this course should... I find him a frustrating horse. He's a keen going horse. He wants an easy 2 miles. Last time he ran at Carlisle, and that was over 2 miles 5, which in my opinion wouldn't be ideal for him. That was he was well beaten by Knock a Hand. But given an easy 2 miles, I think this horse is capable of winning. He was close second behind the Donald McCain trained Swift Arrow over 2 miles 1. That was at Kelso, and this is a speed track, so I'm going to go with the Jetmaster to win for Nick Alexander and Brian Hughes.
Yeah, has run well at Musselburgh in the past as well in a better race than this, and has performed on softer ground as well in the past,
okay.
So placed off softer ground. So,
right.
Jetmaster then in the 210, and the final race we're going to look at is the 240. We finish our podcast with a Class 4 handicap hurdle over the extended 3 miles, and this one is more competitive, Wizard. 11 of them in the lineup here. So which one have you come down on?
I'm going to go for Top Billing.
Right.
Okay. This is trained by Nicky Richards. And Top Billing is still a maiden jumper. At 8 starts over hurdles, was 4th last time over 2.5 miles, just got outpaced. And that's the thing about Top Billing. He's been running over 2.5 miles, and I don't think 2.5 miles has been enough of a stamina test for this horse. Running over 3 miles at Musselburgh on Friday afternoon, and I think will really suit this 5-year-old son of Monson down to the ground. So I think Top Billing's got a tremendous chance of breaking his duck.
Okay. Could be an all right price as well. You're probably getting each way price about
it. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, it looking at this race 24 hours in advance, it does look open.
Mm. Okay, so take a little bit of a chance with Top Billing then in the 240 at Musselburgh. Let's just have a little bit of a summary, Wizard, before you go. Spin us through your three one more time.
Ballycool in the 110, all at Musselburgh. Jetmaster in the 210 and Top Billing in the 240.
There you go. The selections of Darren Owen then for Musselburgh. Thank you very much, Wizard, and enjoy it on Friday.
Yeah, and enjoy January. Roll on February.
So there you go, the thoughts of Darren Owen on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM. Ross Brierley, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Powell will be the team in the studio. Musselburgh and Southwell are the afternoon meetings. We'll finish the day with all weather action at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So 4 meetings, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.